Greg Evans, you are the Executive Director of Coal with the Minerals Council, but Brendan Pearson, the Chief Executive, made a point that there is an alternative to emissions-intensive sources of power, and that's the nuclear industry. Do you see that as a practical alternative in Australia?
Oh, it's certainly one of the many options. I mean, such is the demand for energy into the future, both in Australia and indeed throughout Asia, that we'll need all forms of energy on the table, and that certainly includes nuclear, it includes renewables, and it most certainly includes the need for baseload power from coal-fired power.
And more generally about the Paris Agreement, the Council, the Minerals Council, has welcomed the agreement, saying that it's an important step forward in securing a durable and sustainable path to progressively lowering global greenhouse gas emissions. But isn't this agreement a bit of a death knell for fossil fuel mining?
Oh, certainly not in terms with respect to coal. We certainly see it as a cementing the pathway, if you like, for the continued use of coal, both domestically and throughout Asia. And indeed, Australia is well placed to provide high quality coal with less impurities and high energy value. And it's already doing that and will continue to do that in terms of providing that coal for new generation, clean, efficient coal-fired plants throughout Asia. And in Asia at the moment, some 24 times Australia's coal-fired capacity is actually under construction or planned within Asia with these new, modern, supercritical coal-fired plants.
But when you talk about clean, efficient plants, there was recently, until recently, the promise of carbon sequestration as a way of cutting emissions very drastically from coal-fired plants. But it's never worked. It's never happened at anything beyond a test level, and even those tests have been scrapped.
Well, that's certainly the step forward. First of all, we'll have these high-efficient coal-fired power stations. The next step is indeed carbon capture and storage, and that will be very much an important part of the future and has been widely acknowledged. There are some 22 plants around the world which are utilising it. There's at a test level which is scaling up, and we believe that's very much the future. There's a power station in Canada, the Boundary Dam Power Station, which is now sequestering CO2. So it's very much possible. It's all about reducing the costs. And in terms of the way forward, yes, we'll be looking at more efficient coal-fired power stations, but the next step, where it's suitable, will be carbon capture and storage.
But carbon capture and storage, you say it's being trialled at 22 plants, and there's one plant in particular in Canada, but there are thousands of coal plants around the world. This is an anecdotal exception to a general rule that sequestration is not the way ahead.
No, look, it's been widely recognised as a feasible technology. It's technically possible. The issue now is about reducing costs, and even that plant I referred to in Canada, they said if they're embarking on that process now, it would be some 30% cheaper. So these are all about steps, and this most important step at the beginning will be the greater utilisation of high-efficiency, low-emission power stations. Then the next step, where it's geologically possible, carbon capture and storage will come into play. That's very much why coal will be part of the energy mix for decades to come.
So you see an indefinite future with coal. Even the efficient plants, how efficient are they in terms of cutting emissions by your estimate?
Well, they're reducing emissions by up to 40% from the current older style plants that we have in Australia. And, you know, this is not technology waiting to be developed. If you go to Japan, Japan now has a large number of ultra-supercritical plants which emit very low levels of CO2, but also negligible levels of any other pollutants. They do not contribute to air pollution.
On the issue itself, what's the Minerals Council assessment of how serious a threat global warming poses?
Oh, certainly, and obviously that's what the Paris talks were all about. And we believe the agreement which has been reached enables us to have that energy mix as we've discussed, but it also enables countries throughout Asia to pursue the twin aims of economic development, but also with lower emissions. And that's very important for developing countries. Indeed, it's very important for countries like India that will allow greater levels of urbanisation and electrification and lifting millions of people out of poverty. And we think that's a very important role for coal that can play in indeed high-quality Australian coal.
Greg Evans, thank you very much.
Cheers. Thanks, Maurice.